There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby!
That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
That actually might be a question for Janet Yellen, right, as we get started with Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Glad to have you all along. Another couple hours of live local talk. Lots of ways to get in touch with it. Well, I say lots of ways. Your definition of lots. Several. Several ways. Actually, more than several ways to get in touch with the show. First of all, hopefully you have it in your contacts list. The phone number, the main line, the call-in line, your conduit, telephonically, to be part of the show. At 343-0106. If y'all are new to town, 251-343-0106. Also, that same string of digits works for the Ascension Technologies text line, so you can send us a text like so many of y'all do. Throughout the show, you can get us there. And, of course, using the app with the FM Talk 106.5 app comes the TalkBack feature. When you have the app, you'll see that microphone icon on the front page. If you'll press that, it lets you record a message, and it emails it to the station, and we can play it back here on the air. So check that out, and you know, you can send emails, and I guess when's the last jail mail correspondence I've got? It's been a while. Sometimes jail mail, I get the old good old-fashioned letters there, but you can send the emails to Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com. All right, and we're going to talk about this with our first guest and my friend Cameron Smith with AL.com and the Triptych Foundation. This is when guests that come on the show start worrying, except Cameron, he's pretty used to it, what question they're going to have to deal with beforehand. You know, not the setup subject matter of the show. I'm just thinking back to, remember I said it when this Yellen story came out before. Now we have the return, and then she was on with Aaron Burnett and said, yeah, she ate the mushrooms. I just got in this conversation with y'all. Remember, if you're going to have appointees or elected officials, anybody in government, on drugs. Remember we talked about this with the cocaine in the White House, that they're still not able to tell us whose cocaine it was, just probably part of the investigation that looked into the SCOTUS leak as well. What drug would you want your elected officials or your cabinet position people, appointees, to be on? So would it be a hallucinogen? I'm not saying that the Treasury Secretary was tripping, but would that be, what drug would you, if you had to choose some illicit drug out there, what would you put your elected officials on? And with that, I bring on my friend from AL.com and the Triptych Foundation. Cameron Smith joins the conversation. He's in the chat room. Hey, Cameron.
Sean, I have questions like, who's the quarterback going to be for Alabama?
But don't we all?
What makes Janet Yellen most appropriately high? Man, I struggle with that one.
This is, I don't know. She said she accidentally ate the magic mushrooms, and she said they do have hallucinogenic properties, but when cooked properly, and she says it's a nice restaurant, they don't. So maybe her decisions here, I mean, I don't know. You know, if you go back to when she said transitory inflation, I thought maybe that had something to do with some hallucinogens, but I'm just guessing here.
It certainly explains a lot.
A lot to talk about here in the news since yesterday, but I'll say news from, last week or week before as well. You address in your latest piece over at AL.com, and you say, Senator Katie Britt hasn't made election endorsements for one good reason. This was when this started popping up. Is this a example of not doing your homework? Because people were ready as soon as that came out that, there was endorsements, all six Republican members of the House delegation, and then Senator Tuberville endorsed Trump when he came to Montgomery. There was one name absent, and people jumped on this and had a lot of different ideas of why, and maybe didn't dig into the actual why. You do that in your piece.
Yeah, Charlie Kirk jumped out there and tweeted that Katie Britt, how dare she not endorse Donald Trump? She owes him so much. First of all, it was completely uninformed, but also, like, really? Does anybody think that Katie Britt owes her election to Donald Trump? He was a Mo Brooks guy until she had already basically secured the nomination. So the idea that Trump owes, or Katie owes Trump anything is kind of silly. But the fact is, she was in this advisory council for the RNC about what happened in the midterm red wave that fizzled. It was, let's kind of figure out what caused us to have so much trouble when we should have really done well. And she, as a part of that, said, I'm going to remain neutral until we finish our work. This was publicly out there. This wasn't something that was hidden. But this was, and I'll give the Trump campaign a lot of credit here. They created a full court press on every official in Alabama and sort of made it a, if you're in, you're in. And if you're not, well, he's going to remember that. Mm-hmm. And basically got a clean sweep. Britt didn't endorse because she had already made a commitment to remain neutral. But then the Charlie Kirk tweet comes out to try to create additional pressure. Again, I'm positive that had some connection with the Trump campaign.
Well, and it comes out. Here's the issue, too. Which one resonates more? Which one gets more traction? Which one is not forgotten? And it's the, you know, she didn't do it because of politics. The bottom of the fold, thing that comes up in the paper later that says, well, actually, it's because she couldn't, because she's bound by this group she's in, trying to figure out how that tsunami fell apart. That doesn't, people don't remember that. I mean, you can write your piece and people will read it, some people, but you and I go to the grocery store this afternoon and interview people. They won't remember that part.
Yeah, well, that's the reason I wrote the column in the first place, because AL.com had actually picked up the tweet and said, Charlie Kirk calls out Katie Britt for not endorsing Trump, which implied she had the opportunity to do so and had declined. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. We're creating an echo chamber here of inaccurate information. So I wrote a column, just said, hey, look, the truth is she's made a commitment. She's trying to honor that commitment. And she'll endorse when that work's over, if she wants to endorse. And at that point, if she doesn't endorse Trump, then you can say, well, she's not endorsing Trump. Right now, it's just a little bit of a different scenario that has nothing to do with any of the candidates.
Now, I followed the same information as you did and watched it. I would say, not that this is true, but I mean, it would be a dream situation to be in, to be in that position, to have the blood over the door, right? Of being on that, so you don't have to step up and be for anybody right now, other than Alabama. I mean, it would be not saying that it was set up that way, but if I was in her position, I'd say, this is good. I like this.
Yeah, and I frankly think the rest of Alabama delegation's nuts. And these are some people I know well, and I like them. But it's when 50% of the party is saying, hey, we're not going to go with a guy who was previously president, even though he's got the lion's share at 53%, 56, whatever it is, the idea everyone just jumps on board, I would at least kept my powder dry a little bit longer, because Signal came out with some great polling. They do, Brent Buchanan and the guys over there do a great job. And it said, basically, 25% of the Republican primary voters are Trump come hell or high water. The rest are willing to look for somebody else. And that, to me, says, hey, this is not over yet. And Trump's people, and again, much better campaign this time, is saying, let's end it before it starts. Let's basically high pressure everybody to get on board as fast as they can to protect us and make sure that no matter what these indictments say, we've already got everybody on the Trump campaign. And they're doing a good job. I'll give them credit.
Yeah, I mean, because if you look at it, if my job is working for the Trump campaign, I do exactly that. I mean, they do exactly what they should be doing, from a straight-up party support, or straight-up candidate support. I mean, that's, you'd criticize them if they didn't take every advantage.
Yeah, and for your listeners wanting to know what this looks like, practically speaking, they'll go, a Trump surrogate, Cliff Sims was helping out with the Trump campaign here in Alabama. Somebody like Cliff would go up to a candidate and say, hey, look, Trump's under attack right now from the left. These prosecutions are serious. They're coming after him. And he's going to remember who was standing next to him early on, not later in the process. So if you want to get any credit with the Trump team, because he's going to be the nominee, then you better get on right now. And frankly, the Alabama delegation said, okay. And that's what happened.
Probably smart politics, though, because if you look at the, I know what you laid out for the 25% hell or high water for Trump and the others in play, but you look at the general narrative, and we have some time between now and the primary final, but give me a better example. Tell me who has a better chance of winning the primary than Donald J. Trump.
Yeah, so right now I think that it's pretty clear that he's the presumptive front runner. Again, I see that there's time left. Right now, the field is awful. And what I mean by that is everybody is a referential candidate to Donald Trump. Either they're Trump light or they're with Christie and Hutchinson and they're anti-Trump. But everything still remains about Trump. And until a Tim Scott or Vivek Ramaswamy or somebody says, no, I'm just different. I want to lead in a different direction. And it's about a different vision for America. Everything's still in reference to Trump. So the field is not giving Republican voters options. And we see that by DeSantis flagging, you know, Ramaswamy's kind of saying some of the same type things of how much he loves Trump. It's just everything is about Trump and nobody's getting any other airtime. So I don't see how anybody at this point can be the nominee other than Trump.
Yeah, and, you know, I've said this in the past with, I don't know which set of indictments it was, but, you know, everybody who's going to be on the debate stage with him gets, like you said, has to answer, you know, well, what do you think about the latest indictments on Trump? And they're going to defend him. And that does weaken you when you then turn around and you're on a debate stage and you're saying, I should be the person in this job, not that one. And you just had to, you know, come to their aid.
Yeah. And if you can't explain coherently and without being Chris Christie, who's just like, right, yelling and hollering and screaming and apparently wants to fist fight Trump, if you can't say, hey, look, he's had a shot, his leadership's not there, and frankly, he can't win the general. You got to be honest, and people won't like some of that, but there is a lane to say, hey, I like a lot of the stuff Trump did. I'm not anti-Trump, but good grief, he, with the damage that he's incurred because of his own arrogance, he's going to fail with the independent voters in states across the country that Republicans need to win. So voting for Trump gives you nothing. At least I can give you a different leadership stance. A lot of the policies you like, give me a shot. Other than that, nothing's going
to
work.
Yeah. Well, it's their job to make that case. I don't think they're doing a good job of it out there. And therefore, Trump is, you know, in my opinion, the person who will be the nominee. But then we get into the, I don't know, what do we call this stuff? The fantasy football of politics here. Will Donald Trump be imprisoned by then, or will he, you know, be able to be in the debates because he'll be in a jail? Or look at what happened, the Georgia. Talk about those indictments. Talk about the 18 and the president that get indicted here on this RICO Act. Your take on this?
Yeah, I just call it the kitchen sink, right? It's overlap with a lot of what the Department of Justice has already done. The thing that's interesting here, and I'm not sure what it means for the other cases, is that the Georgia indictment brings in all the co-conspirators, right? And it says you guys are on the hook too, where the DOJ chose not to indict those folks. So it's going to be real interesting to see how those two cases play together. Again, I think the answer here is, like, the legal cards are what they are. They fall where they may. I wrote a column about that the legal system's not broken. It can still work. I mean, you have a judge, a jury, and all Trump has to introduce in criminal cases is reasonable doubt. And so I think this is what it is. Where it crushes Trump is with independent voters. I don't care. The base is sort of like, hey, whatever, he's our guy. But with independent voters, this is just devastating, because you have to tell yourself, well, of the 90-something felony charges against the former president, none of them will stick. It's all fiction. It's all political persecution. That's great when you're a base Trump voter in Alabama. It's not when you're a swing Republican in Georgia, like a Brian Kemp type person. It just doesn't carry water. And you got to win those states. You got to win Arizona. You got to win Georgia. You got to be competitive in Pennsylvania. There's just a lot of places where these criminal indictments are gonna weigh heavy on Trump, and I think be devastating in the general.
Yeah, okay, and out of the 91, so we didn't talk about this, but I talked about it on yesterday's show. Even if, you know, I'm a believer in a witch hunt going on here against Trump, I think there's a lot of evidence of the political motivations of this. But you look at 91 indictments in four different venues, just the odds of it. And you're the person with the law school. I just took the LSAT. I got to think something sticks, not because I wanted to. I'm just the odds game.
Yeah, well, I use the Florida documents case as an example. Like I've long said, hey, look, this one, based on the evidence they put up so far, it's going to be really tough for Trump to defend against that. And even if something sticks there, okay, fine. Say you throw out the Manhattan case and it's just garbage and it's gone. Say the Georgia one gets severely truncated because of its overlap with the DOJ and that, hey, these events, not all of them happened in Georgia. Like, okay, Mike, even if you cut this down, the odds are something's going to stick. And again, Trump's approach to this from a defendant standpoint of, hey, I'm not going to cooperate. I'm going to say whatever I want. I'm going to go after the judge, go after other folks. It's just not a winning strategy for a defendant with very serious allegations against them. And again, you can tell me that, hey, politics had a role here. Fine. We still have indictments and we have a lot of felony charges. And the idea that he navigates this gauntlet scot-free, it's just incredibly unlikely. And independent voters are looking like, it's not that hard not to get indicted. Why can't Republicans put up somebody different? We'll give Joe Biden another shot. And I think it's as simple as that.
Yes. I have a tough time with the fact that I don't think you have a different outcome if former President Trump decided to come hat in hand, you know, instead of doing what he does and doing things Trump way. If he came hat in hand, I don't know that you get a different reaction from, in the four different venues for the indictments. They don't go, oh, okay, well, he's being polite about this. Well, I think either way, the same outcome happens. It's just how he navigates it, I guess, with voters. And do you end up with, are we talking about this in 6 months? Like well, what happens if he is currently, at a state, prosecuted by a state, but he's a candidate for a federal office and he can become president? And I mean, that could happen too, which I don't even know the answers to
this. We can navigate this. It's just a giant distraction. That's the problem with Trump, is a lot of this is because of Trump's arrogance. It's because of the way that he's handled it. And the documents case is a perfect example. He just needed to give back the stuff and not play games with it. That case doesn't get filed. And because of that, he's created distractions to his own political goals. And again, we can say whatever we want. That First Amendment works like that. We can say it's a political witch hunt. It's all these things. My point is, okay, look over at Tim Scott. Very conservative, sterling reputation, no indictments. My question is, why do Republicans not look at him and say, okay, let's give this guy a shot, avoid the distractions, and hey, have a chance with those swing voters in Georgia? Right now, it seems like half the Republican Party is saying, let's just go with Trump, see what happens again. But nobody's told me how this turns out better. And that's my concern.
Yeah, my worry there, and we're running out of time. But Tim Scott, I agree with you, but Tim Scott needs a hype coach, man. He's the kind of candidate I like, but I also have done this long enough to go, he needs to get hyped up. He needs to get, not Trump policy-wise, but he needs to step up. We've changed regular rhetoric and just going and talking about planks of a platform and all that stuff that I love so much. That's not what's, what do they call it? On trend. It's not on trend right now.
Well, I mean, this is, I'll put this bluntly for everybody. This is exactly the campaign that the Biden operation wants to run. It's, we're not talking about anybody else but Donald Trump and his issues. On a loop 24/7, because we don't talk about Afghanistan. We don't talk about inflation. We're not talking about so many of the things that are the reasons why people don't like Joe Biden. We're just talking about Donald Trump, and that worked for Joe Biden last time, and they want to do it again.
All right. Cameron, tell folks where they can find you online, interact with you on some of these stories, and comment there.
At D. Cameron Smith on Twitter, X, or whatever Elon Musk calls it next week. And you can find me on Facebook. I love you guys joining the conversation. It makes it worthwhile.
Hey, Cameron, as always, appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, Sean.
And we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile right here on FM Talk 106.5. Phone number, obviously you got the text line because it's full, but phone number is 343-0106. We'll talk to you in just minutes.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
at 1228 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Hi. I tell you what, we'll get to the text line after the news update coming in seconds, because I ran late and just limited time. And this story, though, fits in here nicely. Lita Gore's story over at AL.com. Headline, Aldi buys Winn-Dixie grocery stores. Have we learned nothing? Story says Aldi, the German-based grocery chain with a cult following, so there, it's a cult, is acquiring the Winn-Dixie and Harvey's supermarket chains, according to a statement released today. Winn-Dixie and Harvey's 400 locations across the Southeast, including almost 40 Winn-Dixie stores in Alabama. The acquisition also covers locations in Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, and Mississippi. Harvey's operates stores in Georgia and Florida. This is like, remember I told you, I warned y'all against Big Outdoors when they let the merger of Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's happen. I said, this is how, and now we're, look at where we are. Look at where we are. You let this happen in the grocery store world. Number one, I mean, did we learn nothing about appeasing the Germans? Well, I can't say that. You can't give them a little bit and expect them to stop, Chamberlain. I don't mean that's the same. I don't. Hey, get ready in the main office to get a complaint call. But yeah, so Aldi taking over Winn-Dixie. What's next, huh?
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. We've got a lot of text to get to here, but we'll go to the phones probably before that. I will say I'm running this sidebar here on the text line. I just, once again, working off the Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen mushrooms in China story. And we did this in the past when that story first came up. And then with the cocaine in the White House, I just said, what drug would you like your elected official, if they had to be on something, what would you have them on? You know, and would it be good to have the Treasury Secretary on hallucinogen? Maybe that's what she came up with the transitory inflation with. But we see a lot of suggestions here for weed, a lot of weed. People like Sims guy, give him weed. So, then the mushroom specialists are coming in. Yellen has no idea what she's talking about. Cooked or raw shrooms work. Because don't they make a tea out of it? Like, don't they? Like, I don't know. I don't do it, but yes, they make a tea out of it. I don't know the Chinese mushrooms, so but I do want to do this. Before we go any further, go to the, is this line one? Who do we have here on line one? Who's this?
Ricky,
how are you, man?
I'm good. How you doing?
Nah, man, I'm good as gold.
Good. I just can't agree with more with Jeb Poore today about the Democrat Party becoming, you know, treating the government like God. I mean, that was a good start today, and I really want people to realize Donald Trump will win the Republican nomination, but he's not going to win the general election.
Okay, so that's a pretty fair take.
And I hope, and you know, that people realize if the Democrat Party becomes a cult, you know, they were worried about the Christians, you know, the Amish or the whatever, you know, taking over the country. But now
the Amish?
Democrat and the government, you know, becoming God, you know.
Okay, wait, I'm going to stop for a second. We'll get back to that. But so you think out of Christian denominations, Amish are going to be trying to move to take over the country?
No, I'm just saying, I remember back in the day, everybody worried about, you know, the Christian, you know, everybody being made to be a Christian, you know, that you had freedom from religion. Mm-hmm. And I don't think freedom from religion or separation of church and state means the government becomes God. And that's what Jeff was talking about earlier today. And that's a really good point. I think for the whole nation realize, you know, government ain't God, and we're the Democratic Party, and that side is taking over everything and converting, you know, shutting Christians out in this nation. And
I don't think you're too far off.
We got to stand up to that.
Yeah, I don't think you're too far off on that, Ricky. I do want to get your comment while you're on with me, though, because you had texted in at the beginning of the show. I said a story I would have coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, but for everybody who didn't follow that, the press release comes out from the Mobile County Health Department, said first case of West Nile virus this year reported. So we get this every year, and they have these chickens that they leave out to get mosquito bites, and they test them for West Nile virus. They're called the Sentinel chickens. And so the mosquito-borne disease has arrived. And I said, with that, I had a story a couple months old out there, but some of the research being done here, this is kind of Ricky gain of function kind of stuff, but different. They're using mosquitoes to deliver vaccines. And the Chinese researchers, because what could go wrong there? But they, Chinese researchers said they could get mosquitoes, they can have a tweaked version of a virus and let the mosquitoes ingest the virus. And then mosquitoes, there they go. They're flying out. Like maybe like bats. They're flying out. And then they bite people and they give you the vaccine from the mosquito. Have you worried that here in stateside that they're using these mosquitoes to put vaccines in us?
I'm worried about the food, the water, all of it. Somebody wants us to disappear. You know, I mean, depopulation, countries like China and Russia and Africa depopulate their people all the time. I mean, you know, if you watch history, you learn that the world depopulation every now and then. And I don't trust Bill Gates for nothing. If it was some kind of Christian doctor or somebody, you know, other than the government and these billionaires doing all this, it'd be different, you know what I mean? But their record's no good, so I don't trust none of the, you know, it's like weaponizing the Federal Reserve. It's like they weaponized everything against real scientists or real doctors, and they just took all their rights away from, like they did in the state of Alabama with Governor Ivory, and giving it over to some kind of clerk that works in the health department, you know, to run off all our rights and our, you know, constitution and everything. Technology is good. It's really good, but it's the spirit and the evil that's behind it and the intentions of it. You know what I mean?
I think that's fair, Ricky. And your assessment on this, very fair, very clear, disappointing to me, but very clear and today, so I appreciate the call. So a team of Chinese scientists have provided evidence that one of humankind's most annoying or even deadly pests could be a key ally in the fight against viral diseases. Like I said, and it was in the Nature Communications peer-reviewed journal, that Chinese scientists are working on something else with viruses. What could go wrong? Why? You talk about being tone-deaf. Talk about being tone-deaf. You Chinese researchers working on viruses with a new idea, and they put the story out. Hey, you know, we're doing this. If I'm at, what is this thing, Nature Communications peer-reviewed journal, I said, we're not publishing this. We're not going to run with this. China, do you really want to do this? But yeah, it's out there, this idea that they're going to have, like, to get people to have the vaccine, they would, because like the mosquitoes, right, the mosquitoes will carry, they can carry disease, but they're saying, what if they carry the vaccine? So I guess you have like a little mosquito trough, just some delicious blood in there with the vaccine, mosquitoes ingest it, and then there they go. You know, like a picture fighter jets leaving the deck of, you know, aircraft carriers. So here they're, dun, 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 and they're going out, and they're going to bite people, and that's how you're going to get the vaccine. You won't even know. How about that? You don't. There's not even time for you to argue whether you're going to get a vaccine or not, because you just got bitten. And I wonder then, you know, I thought about this morning. Then if you do things to avoid getting mosquito bites, are you an anti-vaxxer at that point? If you put off on, Is that showing that you're anti-vaccine if they've now got the mosquitoes to where they're going to carry the vaccine? Just something out there. I don't know. I mean, I think maybe it's probably a great idea to have the Chinese involved in gain-of-function research. It's probably the greatest idea ever. But that was out there. Ricky, I appreciate you chiming in here. All right, to the text line here, more discussion of what drugs we should have members of the cabinet on. Let's see. More how to cook up the hallucinogens for Treasury Secretary Yellen. Let's see. This one, Janet Yellen must. Dirt Digger says Janet Yellen must eat them all the time because she and the Biden economics are out there. They say economy is better. Wrong. Trump in office, whole shopping cart full of groceries at Walmart now. Three bags, eat more shrooms. Yeah, that's, so maybe that's how they see Bidenomics as being a good thing. Maybe they're hallucinating. Let's see. This texter says, Sean, Richard Shelby was nothing but a Democrat, so you wouldn't think any differently from Katie Britt. Okay. Oh, this is back to the conversation with Cameron. This texter says, this is Ozzy. Ozzy in Gulf Shores. Hey, man. How can I put Trump in jail with the Secret Service? He must have Secret Service according to the Constitution. Yeah, we talked about that the other day. That scenario and the scenario where he would be maybe in jail, or, you know, because I don't think he'd be processed to prison at that point, but he would be in a debate and like have to do a Zoom call from the jail cell to be a part of the debate, which I think would be a win for Trump, actually. This texter says, the idea that if we switch to a different candidate other than Trump, that they won't do the exact same thing to him, i.e. indict him, call him Hitler, etc., is ludicrous. Talking about switching to somebody other than Trump. I think the question there is, you can say whatever, but the numbers show that I don't know how he's beatable. I mean, even if these candidates did what Cameron Smith was talking about right now, do you see something that shows that it's going to be Tim Scott? It's going to be DeSantis? But that was all like something people like to talk about beforehand, but now, give me some stats. Show me how this can happen. All right, some comments I cannot read on the air about Aldi's. All I'm saying about the Aldi story, and this just came up today, and it shows, here, let me get back to this. Aldi, the German-based grocery chain with a cult following. What do you think about that, Ricky? Is acquiring Winn-Dixie and Harvey supermarket chains. 400 locations across the Southeast. Yeah, I warned you this with Big Outdoors when it happened before with the Bass Pro Shops Cabela's merger. I was the one person in this country pointing at the danger of that. They never listened to a prophet in his own time. I know that. But this, number one, I like my grocery store is Winn-Dixie. You know, that's my grocery store. And I have not gone to the Aldi's yet. There's one right across from the station. Have not gone there yet. But I'm not very happy with more consolidation in grocery stores. Because Leanna came in and said, well, maybe they'll have better prices on this, that, and the other. When has consolidation given you better pricing? That's why it's worth paying the money and the premiums to buy other businesses, because you control a bigger part of the market and you don't have to compete as much. And I know it's fine, and some people and students of history may disagree that sometimes it's okay to give the Germans just a little bit, a little foothold. Sometimes it's okay, Chamberlain, to appease the Germans, you know? So, all right. People say put them on Adderall, put the elected officials on roofies. There we go. Maybe it'll slow down the spending. That's what I like. The depressants is where I'd go with this, knock them out. Now, somebody said, Ricky, why'd you make me turn off my radio? Tell me when it's safe. It's safe. It was, I think, Ricky's best call I've heard in a long, long time. People saying that I'm poking the bear. The German bear? Bill Gates on camera saying put it in food. We're talking about the vaccine. Well, Bill Gates is going to make John Dutton look like he has a little tiny quarter acre lot out there. You know, I mean, I think Bill Gates has more farmland than everybody now. I think even Ted Turner and the guy from Cox Media. Thank you. Somebody following me here says the use of DEET will result in charges filed against you for destruction of intellectual property. That's what I'm saying. So if we're now going to carry the vaccine in mosquitoes, then if I'm putting mosquito repellent on, then I'm a vaccine denier. All right, another text here. And by the way, we'll get your names back on here soon. Love you and Jeff's show, but this Biden thing being president or getting reelected in 24 is ridiculous. You're not evidently looking at the clips where he can barely get the words or get the words mixed up. Oh, I look at the clips every day for a job. I think that's the best thing that could be out there for the Republicans. Whoever ends up there is Biden running for office. All right, 12:46, we're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, smoke them if you got them. Here we go, 12:50 FM Talk. You can't smoke them anymore, but vape them if you got them. It's Midday Mobile, 343-0106, the telephone line. And speaking of which, we'll lead off here with Ozzy in Mobile. Hey, Ozzy.
Hey, Sean. How are you doing today?
I'm good, man. Appreciate your call. What's going on?
I just wanted to call you to thank you for turning me on to Mason Hill Meats.
Oh, man, Joey Mason's place. Yeah, that's where I get my steaks. So you gotten some of that great beef?
I've ordered from them 3 times now, and here's the deal. I know a lot of your listeners don't care about their health, but everybody is putting these vaccinations in this beef now, the MNRA, and they're putting it in the chicken and the hogs and everything. And I will not eat out anymore, and I will not buy the food from the grocery stores anymore. It's all dangerous.
Yeah, I tell you what, when he says it's local, Ozzy, I'm with you. When he says it's local, too, like, I know Joey. I know I stand there at his pasture. I stand there at his processing facility. Like, I've been there. I know what he does. And, yeah, that means a lot for me. And, obviously, it does you, too. So, good stuff.
And I tell you, yeah, I mean, they are a truly family business. I was shocked. Joey brought the box of meat to me the first time, and it just flipped me out. I just said, "That, you know, this is really a true family business."
It is, man. And, this kind of people I love.
It's one of the best companies in the area.
Ozzy,
tell everybody about it.
Well, you just did. Thank you, Ozzy. I appreciate that. Yeah, so there you go. Ozzy and I both telling you about my man Joey at Mason Hills Farms. You can check him out online, masonhillsfarms.com, and check out what Ozzy and I have both enjoyed for quite a while here. And he also was a person that Joey introduced me to Tomahawk Steaks. And I mean, I got cattle, you know, but I had never heard of Tomahawk Steak. Or maybe I heard of it, never seen one. So I bought some from him. And so they're delicious, but the boy and I, my son and I, like them most because it's like Fred Flintstone because it's got the exposed rib. And I don't know. Boys, don't we like that? It's kind of cool. It just looks cool. All right. Let's go to David in Mobile up next. Hey, David.
Sean, your question about the vaccine and mosquitoes is thinking too small.
Okay. Enlighten me, Magi.
The real question you need to be asking yourself is the federal government going to start withholding money from municipalities and counties that spray for mosquitoes to control the mosquito population?
Point made. So you're saying that if this would happen, if the Chinese, because who wants to say no to the Chinese when it comes to gain-of-function research? I don't, for one. They've shown themselves.
They would never do anything irresponsible with that, right?
Shown themselves to be such great arbiters of that. So you're saying we go to that mode. You've got these vaccines being delivered by mosquitoes. Here comes the truck with the down the street with the magic smoke we used to ride behind on our bicycles as kids. And that right there is just outward flaunting the federal government. That's outwardly saying you're a vaccine denier.
That's rebellion right there, Sean.
It is. I mean, it would be, it's like maybe the 2023-2024 equivalent of the Boston Tea Party is kind of what you're saying.
Exactly. Real quick question, though. Are y'all going to be in the same spot y'all always are at the Business Expo tomorrow?
Yeah, wherever we get the van in. Yeah, I think so. I go where they direct me. When we pull the van in, they just point me to an area and I park the van there. So I think I'll be, yeah, wherever we get in where we fit in. Yeah, you can see us. We have the largest vehicle inside the convention center. So, yeah, come by and see us.
Will do.
All right, there we go. Leaves the line open at 343-0106. Oh, I do like this on the drugs to give government officials, either elected or appointed, Cre-emulsion. This radio show, let me point out, this radio show has more references to Cre-emulsion, the medicine, than I would say all the other radio shows in the country combined. And we all had to, well, those amongst us that had those conversations had the same dang bottle with the crusty stuff on it that grandma would have to, like, get a pair of pliers to get it open and make you drink. And that's why I was never sick growing up. I felt sick, but I would never admit to being sick because no matter what you had, I could have had, like, a compound complex fracture and be bleeding out. She's like, well, let me go get the Cre-emulsion. All right, this texture here. It's like some science talk here. This is good. Good afternoon, Sean. Speaking of mosquitoes, there is bioengineering already in the works to alter the DNA of certain types of mosquitoes so that as they attempt to repopulate, they introduce the new gene into the species, thus altering their DNA so they cannot reproduce anymore. Okay, so I did read something about that, and maybe it was the specific mosquito that carries malaria, I think, because not all mosquitoes carry malaria. I do worry about this. Look no further than Kogan grass. Look no further than hogs. When we start messing with stuff, and I get the idea that, okay, you could keep populations in check, you could knock down the mosquito population without using chemicals, the magic chemicals David was talking about earlier, without doing it. But I worry when we do something like this, you know, which, by the way, AI is going to get us, is going to design some virus and release it and kill all of us, you know, soon. But between now and then, kids are back in school. Quit screwing with Mother Nature. Because there's a certain point where we don't know the secondary, tertiary effects of that. You go, hey, primary effect, less mosquitoes, good. That's good stuff. But then what birds feed on those mosquitoes? What fish need those mosquitoes? What that's there for a reason. That's my worry with it. Somebody told me not to go to Aldi's. Don't tell me not to go, because now I have to go to Aldi's. But I'm just bothered by big grocery. People to big pharma, big, you know, big outdoors, like I said, with that big the Bass Pro Shops Cabela's merger. What if we end up at a point we have like one grocery store chain in the whole country? It's like whatever. It's Aldi's. And you have no other choices. So if they decide they're not going to carry the whatever you want, sorry. You want to talk about where we need to get the antitrust legislation. They're always worried about the tech companies. Let's worry about the grocery stores. Right. Gary's saying, I was impressed with Ricky's conversation. Just saying. I was too. Ricky, disappointed but impressed. Monty saying about the DEET. Yeah, I might be. What if I have DEET at my house? What if they don't see me using the mosquito repellent, but they come in and I have it? It's like a vaccine avoidance paraphernalia or something like that. This texter says, Trump is cooked. Time to stop the fantasy. But here's the problem. Okay, then who else? That's the thing. Then who else? Somebody suggesting possibly they would add vaccines to DEET. Now, that's some three-dimensional chess you're running there. Ricky is back on the text line. Say China will attack Taiwan. Yeah, maybe. I don't think that's out of the scope of things that could happen. This texter says, I do mosquito control as part of my business. I guess I'm going to have to change to putting chemicals to increase them. Yeah, that's the thing. If you realize they were bioengineering getting rid of mosquitoes, if I'm a group out there that, like, I'm big mosquito spray, I'm big DEET out there, I'm big local, then I'm going to maybe do something nefarious with the Chinese research facility to have more mosquitoes. George. He says, Sean, this is George. What we need, we call kind of medicine we need to send to Washington, massive doses of Exlax. Just saying. Beautiful, beautiful imagery. I like it. Blue Dog says he personally looks forward to serving our AI overlords. You know, quit kissing butt, Blue Dog. Quit kissing butt. What you're trying to do is you're trying to stay alive once the machines take over. I see what you're doing. So we already know that you are a traitor amongst us right now, Blue Dog. Duly noted. All right. 12:58. Coming right back. Erica Thomas, 1819news.com. She's got people chasing down the water folks in Fairhope and a whole lot more. Stay right there.